West Texans, all you good, fine, friendly folks out there who wish you were. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro taking you till 1 o'clock today in the Arctic Air Studios. We'll turn morning into afternoon with you wonderful folks listening in San Angelo on ESPN 960 and in the Hubaplex Talk 103.9 FM News, Money, Sports. Well, you could already be texting in. You know what we do on Mondays. We find out what you believe to be true to start the week. Can't run around willy and or nilly not believing in something, sports or otherwise. Let's hand out some Raiderland helmet stickers. Who deserves a little recognition in your world today, sports or otherwise? 806-855-3712. Beyond that, Tech baseball, softball, a rough weekend for both squads down there in Austin. Close but no cigar several times for both teams. NCAA tournament final four set. I'm sure we all had all these teams in our bracket. No doubt about it. Tech spring football rolling on, and we do have your question of the day regarding Texas Tech men's basketball. And, well, as Ted Knight famously said, we're waiting. So we're waiting. 806-855-3712. If you're listening on the apps, we thank you. If not, download at kkm.com. Then turn on notifications. Follow the station on Twitter at Talk1039. Me, I'm just Ryan Hyatt at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. The show never ends. In fact, we come back in the evening around 6:30-ish with the daily broadcast. Join us tonight. If you missed our original column in Diamond Talk yesterday and even a George Thatcher column, go to my website, theraiderland.com. That's theraiderland.com. Drop us a comment there if you want to. He's Rob Bro, one-third of the Gambling Gauchos, host of the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9 FM. King of Hat of the Day. He will pulse the people when he wants to. Happy Monday. We made it through the weekend.
Happy Monday.
Yeah. Good weekend for you?
Not particularly.
Nothing exciting?
Yeah, 0-6 in Austin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, you personally didn't go 0-6 unless, you know, you had some fiduciary interest.
Well, I just...
See, our house...
It was fine.
Our house, we survived the prom. So it's a great weekend.
The prom this early?
Well, that's, you know, when you're... These kids have so many activities going on, particularly at a smaller school where everybody's involved in 15 things, you know. This literally was the only weekend they could figure out how to get the thing put together and get it done. So congratulations to all involved. Trust me, it's no small feat in getting that done. All right, so... like I said, we got a lot of different things to get to today. 806-855-3712. We are obviously still waiting to see who the next Texas Tech men's basketball coach will be. We'll get to that, but I do want to throw the question of the day out there for you. As you've watched this tournament, as you've watched the Big 12 and watched Texas Tech basketball, obviously, the last couple of years, regardless of who the head coach is, Rob, I want to get from them today, what are your realistic, fair expectations for year one, for whoever this coach is? What are the expectations? What is it? What do you want to do? Go 500 in conference, 20-game winner? Are we talking NCAA tournament berth year one? Is that the realistic, fair assumption? Win a game in the NCAA tournament? Because when you've made it recently, you've at least won a game, usually more, but that has raised the value. But given the current landscape, right now, I mean, because think about, okay, put yourself in the committee's shoes, right, Rob? And you're sitting across from candidate X.
Right.
Coach, what's your expectation for this program year one? What do they say?
I want the coach to say national championship, but...
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I want a confident coach coming in. What was in the binder that Joey had?
Boy, I'd love to know what page 242 was.
Five-year plan. So I'm.
You don't need a five-year plan in basketball. You can have one.
Right.
I don't mean it that way. But basketball's like turning around a motorboat. Football's like turning around an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, in basketball, especially where you've been as a program, with what you have at your disposal, you might not go to the mountaintop in year one, but you'll be able to see who you're going to be in year one.
I think so. It's the quickest sport you can turn around culture and everything else in, and talent, portal, NIL, everything about it allows you to expedite the process compared to years ago. So that's the question of the day. Now, we get into the idea of, okay, here we are, and we said last week, I think these next few days are going to be critical. If Grant McCaslin is indeed a top target for Texas Tech, obviously he's got Wisconsin tomorrow night in Vegas in the NIT semifinals. any other realistic name or even unrealistic name, right, Rob? They're done. Everybody's done now. Unless all of a sudden you want to get in on that Dusty May sweepstakes there at FAU,
right,
who was a student assistant for Bob Knight in the waning days of that Indiana program from 99 to 2000. So see, everything is West Texas, as the gambling gauchos like to say. But everybody else would be done. If you were holding out, you know, whatever hope or otherwise, that's probably not the right way to say it, but if you were interested in a Jerome Tang, an Eric Musselman, in the thought process being, hey, you really don't have a shot to even have a legit conversation until they're done with the tournament, and I really wouldn't want it any other way, I don't know that I'd want a coach who would be willing to talk during the tournament. But, again, they're done. So here we are. Do we think it is McCaslin at this point? It sure does feel that way today. Now, and I'm not trying to force you to backtrack at all, because, Rob, I think you were hearing some of the same things that I was hearing as the week went on last week about the McCaslin candidacy. That woe up on that car wash just a little bit. That they weren't holding hands and just quite ready to go down the aisle on both sides. Now, as the weekend went on, I began to get the feeling that maybe that was changing. We'll see. We'll see.
We will.
I think by Wednesday or Thursday, latest. Wednesday or Thursday, well, I shouldn't say that. Because if it is McCaslin, right, and they do win Tuesday, then I guess they come back and play Thursday, I think. Is that the schedule for the NIT championship?
Yeah, I was just looking it up.
Yeah, I think it's Thursday night. So, I mean, by the end of the week, and North Texas is favored, by the way, in that game right now by about a point and a half, in case you're wondering. So there we are. So what's realistic expectation for you out of a first-year coach with this Tech basketball program for next year? We find out what you believe to be true, and then, of course, Raiderland helmet stickers. And then we will discuss much Texas Tech baseball. I have incredibly bad news on that front. Rob, I have talked to Football Guy. The sun will never shine again. The season is over. That this team is just too young. And it was painfully obvious that this team, they're just, Tim Tadlock is counting on too many freshmen. He doesn't know what he's doing on that front, that he needs to be playing older guys. And obviously the pitching depth of this team is substandard, and they're just not going to be able to compete. Let's be honest. Every time Tech's played any good team this year, they've gotten smoked, right? Right, Rob?
Yeah, Tadlock can't win on the road.
No. Never has, never will be. So, in consultation with Football Guy over the weekend, and particularly Sunday night, I don't know what to tell you guys other than it's probably over. I am waiting for confirmation to find out, Rob, and maybe you can get this straight. Will they get on a bus today to go to New Mexico, or will they just save the gas money, right? I mean, what's the point? Why go over there? New Mexico's pretty good. You had to play good to beat them a couple of weeks ago here at Dan Law Field. Surely you can't go on the road and beat them there. So I think it's a tough spot that Tim Tadlock finds himself in, that two series into the Big 12, and you know it's obvious. It's over. It's not going anywhere. So I mean, I don't know why you guys would want to talk about it on this show today. But if you do, 806-855-3712 to get on the text line. Use the 806, or it goes to the Angry Man in Florida, 855-3712. Right off the bat, texter today, even before we began airing this little radio show, Rob, wants to know, am I reading too much into the news coming out of Austin about Rodney Terry? He will be offered the head coaching job, per sources. What is the offer? Is it something he can't refuse or something they hope he can't accept? Interesting question. There was a lot of media heat put on Chris Del Conte by the Austin media, in particular the national media picked up on it over the weekend, basically backing Del Conte into a corner on Terry.
Oh, yeah.
That if you don't hire him, you've screwed him over because all the jobs are gone, that he then can't go get another head coaching job.
Is he going to leave before the tournament?
Exactly. What was he going to do? How was that going to work out? Now, I think it's going to be Terry. I think he'll end up getting the job. And I don't think they would deliberately lowball him. But then again, it is the University of Texas, so anything is possible.
You're not paying him beard money.
No. No, you don't have to. He can still make a lot of money and not be making the beard money. I think he probably gets the job. I thought he did an admirable job. There are, you know, some Tech fans, well, why do you think he ought to have the job? Well, the dude took a Porsche and he drove it like a Porsche. He held the locker room together. And I don't remember who were the other coaches at Texas that have gone to the Elite Eight over the last 30 years. That would be one.
Rick Barnes?
That'd be Rick Barnes. I think he did it once.
With
Rodney Terry as an assistant. Or are you talking on the...
With who was it, Kevin Durant?
It was Durant team, I think.
T.J. Ford? Who was it?
Don't give me the line.
Still, pretty good player.
I mean, and you don't hire a fire guy on one 13-minute episode in the Elite Eight, in my opinion. Which, by the way, what an amazing comeback by the Fighting Jim Larrañagas. So I think it's going to be him. I think it'll be him. One more before the first break of the day. Doughboy, our resident trucker and Raiderland. Guns Up Trucking was in the house Saturday there in Austin. Says that down in Odessa, going to dump off this load, head to Abilene. Man, wasn't a good weekend in Austin. Back-to-back walk-offs. But on another note, the Horns did go down in basketball. See, so Tech fans can even find some solace in the fact that they had to announce the scores on Sunday.
I don't. By the way,
way
Tech fans are a little rent-free this weekend celebrating the Elite Eight loss.
Yeah.
You didn't make the tournament.
You had to quasi-fire your coach. Sometimes you just got to stay in your lane, right?
Yeah, I think so.
806-855-3712. You guys chime in. Let's get some helmet stickers rolling out today. Who deserves a little recognition, sports or otherwise? Every Monday you tell us what you believe to be true for the week. And then question of the day, realistic expectations for Tech basketball next year. New coach, regardless of who it is. What do you think the expectations ought to be? If we're not talking about it, we want to hear from you today. So do what you need to do. 806-855-3712. It's a quick break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. It's 11:20. We're just getting rolling here in Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro, taking you to 1 o'clock in the Arctic Air Studios. Then it is the Rob Bro Show on Talk 103.9 FM, News Money Sports. Be sure to get your overreactions ready for that. ESPN 960 San Angelo, hi, how are you? Question of the day, legit expectations, whoever the next Tech head coach is for Texas Tech for their first year, what should it be? We ask you what you believe to be true every Monday, and then Raiderland helmet stickers will be handed out today to anyone and everyone who deserves it. We've got spring football rolling on. We've got the Final Four set. And then, of course, Texas Tech baseball getting swept. Somebody didn't tell D1 Baseball about this deal. Why are they ranking a team that's not going to play anymore? Because Texas Tech ranked 22nd in the nation today in the in the D1Baseball.com poll after getting swept, going 0-3 for the week, and they're still in the rankings. Did they not get the memo? I can't believe it.
Two publications did put Texas outside of the top 25 back in, one ahead of you.
Yeah, one.
It's like, well, they're better than Tech, so we'll put them right in front of them.
We have to do this, but here we go. Almost reluctantly, it seemed like. Tech men's basketball search going on. We can continue to get your thoughts there. Texters on the text line. 806-855-3712. Monty's texting in, just pulling back into Lubbock from DFW. Who turned off the heater? Was warmer when I left. Need some blue sky chili now. Yeah, yesterday was sunny, but it just never really warmed up yesterday. It was kind of weird. I just kept thinking, I ended up wearing a jacket for most of the early part of the day before it finally got going. I think we got a little cold blast coming in tonight. Tomorrow's supposed to be a little chilly. This is for Monty, who doesn't have the weather app. And then you'll warm up back in the back half of the week. And then hopefully at some point we'll have this thing called rain, if that's not too much to work in. Texter says, I would like to get on the Dusty May sweepstakes, at least kick the tires. You can talk to the guy. He's had a nice build there at FAU. It took a couple of 3 years to get it going. They've had a good back-to-back years. This is not some sort of freakish run. They've got dudes. They've got players. He's recruited good, high-level college basketball players there to Florida Atlantic. Let's put it this way. Small sample size guys, right? Here he is in his, you know, first major tournament outing doing stuff. Jerome Tang, first-year head coach, longtime assistant. Who would you trust more handing the keys over to in that situation? In that, we're talking Texas Tech only here. And I'm not doing this to say Jerome Tang is my guy. He's one of many dudes that I think would be good. And I thank him for getting us all to say dudes again. That dude deserves a pat on the back. Who would you believe in more? The longtime assistant first-year head coach or the younger head coach first time making a deep foray? I think the correct answer is who has the better binder. By the way, we think Tech's all out on no Tang and no Musselman and no sitting major head coach, right? We're all good on that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It'd be only because it's McCasland.
Yeah. Only because.
I mean, I think, yeah. Well, so, not only because, but.
Any thought on a May? Do you?
I mean, I have thoughts on him. I just don't know that. I think Texas Tech is.
I think they've zeroed in.
Yeah.
I think they know who they want.
Right.
It's a matter of can they structure a deal with who they know they want.
Is it, if I was, you know, given a blank check and said May or McCasland, yeah, I don't know. Because it's, hey, do you want an exciting offense or elite defense again?
Yeah. The answer is both. We want both.
Right.
And McCasland, as you pointed out last week, in the past, has had some high-scoring offenses.
At the JUCO level.
JUCO level, which lends itself maybe a little bit more to that beast anyways.
Right.
But I go back to the comments you read in the interview where you said, I'm doing this at North Texas right now because this is the way we believe we can win with the personnel we have and the structure of the league.
Right.
So would that answer be different if he were looking at a Texas Tech roster in the Big 12? How different would that be? Robert is texted in, says, I have not given up on the baseball team. I am not a lay-down Sally, and this team is not a bunch of lay-down something or another's. He's not giving up. Rob, should we continue on the baseball season for Robert?
Yes.
Can we keep doing that? Doughboy says, Rob, I can still hate Texas regardless of Tech making the tournament. That's the lane I like to be in.
I just want everyone to know that if that's what they want to do, then don't complain when Kyle Umlang or other Texas fans say that Tech fans are rent-free. That Texas lives in their brains rent-free because they do.
Yeah.
So if that's cool with you and that's and you understand that, fine. But I just think it's funny to say, oh, you're not rent-free. You're not our Super Bowl. And then to go crazy when you get swept by them and think the season's over just because it was Texas. Like, that's a little rent-free.
Mm.
I mean, if that's what you're going for, then fine. Yeah. I'm not against it. I'm not going to tell you how to fan.
Own your universe.
Yeah.
Own your own universe. Question of the day, expectations year one next year men's basketball. Regardless of coach, what should the expectations be? One texter saying this, a reasonable expectation is for Texas Tech basketball to be in the conversation for the NCAA tournament at a minimum. I disagree with what the texter's saying there. I disagree with that. The minimum should be that you're in the NCAA tournament. Agreed. The minimum expectation should be that you are in the NCAA tournament if you're Texas Tech and you're playing basketball. That you should be in. You were in the conversation this year, albeit briefly, flickering. And this team was in the conversation. Never really truly on the bubble, but in the conversation. Whatever that means. I like that. In the conversation. Hey, Rob, did you know I was in the conversation for dating Meg Ryan one time? It's been a while. It was in the conversation. Now, the minimum expectation should be in the tournament every year.
Every year.
And you have the ability, if you lost everybody on this roster, new coach comes in. I mean, nobody comes back. you can go out and get a 13-man roster, and you can be in the NCAA tournament next year.
Yes.
You can go get some young guys, some old guys with experience, some guys that can play, and you can be, because all you got to do to be in the NCAA tournament is to be seventh in the Big 12.
That's basically what Kansas State did.
Holy cow, yeah. It's one of my what I believe to be true, by the way, this week that we'll have to get to in the next segment.
Hey, I've got some breaking news.
Break that news.
The media is at Globe Life today.
Really?
Testing the new food additions.
We never get to do that.
Ryan, are you familiar with the Boomstick?
Yes.
They've got a Boomstick burger.
Huh.
It is a looks like a yard of patty, chili cheese, onion rings, jalapenos on a delicious looking bun.
Hi there.
How much do you think that costs?
$32.
I would say probably closer to 50.
I don't know. Regular burger going to cost it you looks, $25.
It looks amazing though.
Oh man. All right, bottom of the hour break. Hours flying by. What's your realistic expectations next year for Tech men's basketball, regardless of the coach? Let's hand out some helmet stickers when we come back. You tell us what you believe to be true to start the week. We will have some Tech baseball discussion, don't worry. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Like 103.9.
It's 11:35. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Rowe taking you to 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios as you text in 806-855-3712. Question of the day, realistic expectations, year one, new Tech men's basketball coach, fill in the blank. Insert coach later, regardless of who it is. What should that be? What do you believe to be true to start the week? And then we got Raiderland helmet stickers to hand out anyone and everyone deserving some recognition. Texas Tech baseball getting swept, and football guy devastated by that. And we will discuss more about the 22nd-ranked Red Raiders as we go through the day. And softball kind of had the same weekend. They were right there, and just couldn't – had some rough ladder innings. And Texas just – again, like I said, it felt like the same series for both teams. It was really weird the way it played out. Texters are on the text line, Rob, 806-855-3712. Texter says, can we please start a petition to remove any affiliation with Viva account and TTU? Their paper towels seem to be fine. I don't know that much about them. I've used the Viva paper towels, and I can't imagine why this texter would be so upset about that.
I would assume SB Nation will be closing more accounts soon, and I couldn't imagine that one not being the next.
For those who don't know, it's basically an unhinged fan account, but it is under the SB Nation heading, and it's painful to watch at times what transpires online with that thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it because I'm blocked, but I kept seeing their stuff on my Twitter feed.
And algorithm's broken. People who have you blocked, you can see their stuff now, but when you click on it, you can't.
Well, see, I hadn't blocked them. I mean, they had blocked me.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like people that have blocked me, I'm seeing their stuff again.
Yeah. Okay. That was it. So I just hit mute.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite thing because then people don't realize they've been blocked and they just rail into darkness. But yeah, kind of sad there to follow. Doughboy, I wasn't complaining, nor do I think the season is over, nor do I listen to those silly comments made by them tea sippers. Says, and then he says, laugh out loud. Or something else. It could change. For all I know, LOL has changed now.
Lots of love.
Yeah, lots of love. That's it. Texter on the expectations. Beat everyone in the USA again next season. I would say get your home court advantage back, but you know what? You never lost your home court advantage this year. The fans were there. Fans never left. Fans stayed strong. What was it? Largest average attendance for any major program in the state of Texas, any program in the state of Texas. And did we finally decide it was third in the Big 12? Did we get that right?
The women's was. I think the men were fourth.
Fourth? Okay.
Depending on what metric you do.
Yeah.
But Kansas State, Iowa State, and Kansas, I think, were right in front of you.
Okay.
And then percentage-wise, Texas probably is too, but they just have a small arena.
Texter handing out a helmet sticker to Rodney Terry for stepping into a head coaching role and taking them to a Big 12 tournament championship in the Elite Eight. Congrats to him, says the Texter. Texter was washed up guy. May I point out that in Westerns in earlier days, if you called someone a dude, you had better prepare to have to draw that six-shooter. It was an insult, damn it. What hath Jeff Bridges wrought? Dude. Got the dudes. We got dudes. They got dudes. Thank you. Thank you. And still, that's all Jerome Tang ever does. I'm happy with it right there. Your thoughts on the coach search as we go through today, if you just join us. We believe that it is trending strongly towards North Texas. It is still all I can do, Rob, not to say North Texas State. I'm sorry. I apologize to the North Texas people, but dang it, it's just still hard. And they changed it a while back. It's not like it's anything really, you know, extravagantly new. But I just have a hard time getting that out there. 806-855-3712. You can hand out some helmet stickers. All right, for Texas Tech baseball over the weekend, Rob, the biggest takeaways for me, when you lose two games, you know, in the ninth, and then the Friday night game, I don't know, that just never felt like you were all that close. But one of the biggest takeaways, and I got hammered for this Friday night during the Oklahoma State game, when in the middle innings I said, you can't live this way in the Big 12 on Friday nights with inefficient starting pitching, with not being able to go. And we've talked about it ad nauseum, and then the Tech comes back and they're like, see, you're wrong. No, I was right then, and we were right this weekend, that every game you not only felt like it, you were playing from behind, that you just didn't really get off to good starts. The next thing was you just were not as good as Texas. They were just slightly better than Texas Tech in the situational hitting. Runners in scoring position, runner at third, less than two outs, whatever metric you wanted to pull out on those numbers. Texas was just a little bit better converting the runs. And then you add in the fact, and this is what's a little bit different about this Texas team, and it is by design for Pierce, they're hitting with more power. They ran into five home runs yesterday. You had problems with the long ball. And granted, the wind was blowing out there at the dish over the weekend a little. Certainly by their standards. By our standards, we're probably going, yeah, it's a breezy day, but it's not like a jet stream. Down there where the ball typically does not carry all that well, you get some real heavy air, you get that humidity. It's Austin, right?
Right.
Even playing in late March, you can have days like that. The ball really seemed to carry much, much better. But at the end of the day, you just weren't quite good enough. You just made some of the mistakes that you can't make to win Big 12 games. All in all, I guess I'm crazy, Rob. I may be stupid. I took away some positive aspects from it. That your freshmen now have seen the elephant. That they came and showed up. That Gavin Cash, he didn't back down in the moment down, you know. That he didn't go back to Austin and get completely intimidated. He maybe had one bad at bat, I think it was Friday night, where it just didn't look like the same guy. The rest of the time, Molina was all right. The Beckel suspension obviously played a role in late game situations.
Yep.
And who was out there. Obviously. Now, he could have come out and he could have thrown four scoreless innings. He could have got lit up. We'll never know because he didn't get that opportunity thanks to Josh Holliday. But I'm not going to sit here at the end of a series where you go on the road to a team that had won 12 coming in straight and bemoan that you lost two one-run games. Not going to do that. And you had comebacks.
Yeah, you never quit. A lot of times in a sweep, especially in college baseball, the final game is a 10-run game. There's a team that lays down. And
which is what Oklahoma State did yesterday in their win.
Now TCU over Kansas as well.
By the way, I'm sure it's happened, but I don't recall a weekend where every Big 12 series was a sweep.
Yeah, it's rare.
I mean, I'm sure it's probably happened, but I don't recall that. That's crazy.
Kansas State used a couple of big innings. Of course, that's at home, and everyone looked like they were wearing hoodies under their jerseys.
Yeah, about right.
But, yeah, you fought back. To get walked off, you have to be close or leading in the bottom of the ninth. I'm just not real worried.
Nor am I.
Yeah.
Now, that said, you better buckle your chin strap because you need to wear a helmet when you go to New Mexico because weird stuff happens.
Yes.
And this New Mexico team is good. I don't know if it's Zane Petty going tomorrow or Erdman. The one midweek game this week, I'm guessing Petty, you know.
You can't. I was going to say, do you need to get Beckles some run, but you can't.
You can't do it. You can't. He can't pitch again. He will be. His suspension turned into a 2-week suspension. That's just, it's egregious. There's no other way to say it. It's a miscarriage of baseball justice. And you're paying for it. So I'll say again, with what we saw last week from the freshmen, Erdman and Petty, if it is Petty tomorrow and I haven't seen the release, I would assume that it'll be sometime today. I just haven't seen it. And he looks good. Try him in a starting role on the weekend. You've got to get off to better starts.
Yes.
Even the Molina game, you played from behind for much of it.
Offensively, too. Well, and it's not just this weekend. You've not scored first in most of the games.
Right. And I also want to debunk a little something here. There's a lot going on. This team can't score from away from Lubbock. They've got to be in Lubbock to score. You're not paying attention. First off, it kind of matters who you play when you're not at Dan Lawfield. Second, and I just said Dish Falk played a little smaller than it normally does, and that's true, but nobody was scoring runs down at Minute Maid. That when you were down there, nobody's putting up big runs for the most part. So I will debunk the idea that this is, this team is designed to play at Dan Lawfield. No, it's not.
You've also played 6 games away from Dan Lawfield and 20 at home.
Mm-hmm. The RPI is out today. Texas Tech is sitting at 38. So that series cost you about 8 spots or so, give or take. Texas is, after the series with you on the RPI, has jumped up to, where did they jump up to? 23. So they get a 6-spot bump, you get an 8 drop. That tells you how close the two teams really actually are in valuation. And this RPI, this is D1Baseball.com, it's still very, very fluid for another week or so. It doesn't really settle in my opinion, until about mid-April. And that's when you get into the, where am I on a seed line? Where am I on a potential regional host? Where am I on a potential top 8 national seed? That you're still winnowing out some small sample size strength of schedule. And obviously, for most conferences, you just played your second conference series. So we'll see. But the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, and it happens every year, Rob. I should be used to it. But it's just starting to wear on me just a little bit.
Yeah.
This is a good baseball team.
Yeah, and there's still, I don't know of any fans that could look at the production of Texas Tech pitching over the last 5 years and want to fire the pitching coach every bad series.
Yeah, but they're there.
I mean, you just sent 3 guys, your 3 starters, to the draft in good enough positions to leave and have had, you've replaced starters every year due to injury or draft, and you're still producing high-level starters in the Big 12, but you want to fire the guy every year.
Yeah. It's like a rite of spring.
It's crazy.
Yearly tradition.
It's crazy. And the fact that people still question Tim Tadlock, he can't win on the road. This is just, it's Tim Tadlock, man. He can't.
Horrible situational hitting team, always has been.
It's crazy.
806-855-3712. If you want to talk some Tech baseball, text in. Also, let's hand out some helmet stickers. I got one we're going to hand out in the next segment, Rob, that it's personal to me. This one's personal on a helmet sticker. And then what do you believe to be true to start the week? You tell us. Question of the day, expectations next year men's basketball, regardless of who is hired, what is the minimum expectation that you hold forth that this program should adhere to? 806-855-3712. Finish up hour number one of Two Strong. Quick break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Final segment, hour number one of two. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Got you till 1 o'clock in the Arctic Air Studios in the ESPN 960 in San Angelo. And in Lubbock, you listen to Talk 103.9 FM News, Money, Sports. Text in what you think the minimum expectations should be for next year's coach for men's basketball, whomever that may be, even if they're named Grant McCaslin. What are the minimum expectations? What do you believe to be true to start a Monday? Every Monday we ask you that. And then Raiderland helmet stickers handed out. You guys hand out some. There's plenty of things you can get a sticker for this weekend, even with baseball and softball having a rough go. And, of course, spring football going on. We'll talk more about that as the week goes through, I'm sure. All right, I got to hand out a helmet sticker, Rob. And you guys jam up the text line, 806-855-3712. This one goes to the Florida Atlantic play-by-play voice, Ken LaVica, in his 16th season. By the way, hat tip and shout out a numbers game on VSiN, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. They had him on this morning telling the story. It's not so much that his call was great, and his call was great there getting FAU to the Final Four, but he endured every play-by-play guy's worst nightmare in the closing seconds of that game. Rob, you and I have both been there, both done a lot of play-by-play, and both of us have been the one-man band where you are the play-by-play guy, you're the color guy, you're the stat guy, you are the producer. It's you, and that's it.
Right.
So there he is, Madison Square Garden. I'm guessing he uses a piece of equipment very similar to what we call an access box that has to have a hardwired Ethernet cord to it. You can't just Wi-Fi it. So in the waning moments of that game, all of a sudden he's off the air. Producer, you're not on the air. Something's wrong. Looks down. Ethernet's not working. This is where seconds begin to turn into hours. So he starts looking around down there on the press row. You know, Andy Katz is sitting here, and so-and-so said, he's like, can I plug in your Ethernet? I'm off the air. Can I try this? He's trying this. It's not working. Game's going on.
Yeah, he missed about 30 seconds of game time.
Yeah, but the whole thing took about 4 minutes, and this is where seconds feel like hours. And now, okay, I'll call in. What's the number? What do I call into? Producer, I don't know. Now, panic rising. But you don't panic because your training kicks in, because you're a professional. And I promise you, this guy, having been at Florida Atlantic for 16 years, has been in gyms where you went through this every week.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but now it's at Madison Square Garden to go to the Final Four. Finally, on the row behind him, he gets an Ethernet cord that's working. One problem. All of your equipment is down there. It doesn't reach. So he goes back. He's still on the phone, calling the game at this point, still on the phone, and he gets some guy. He's not even sure who. Can you hold this piece of equipment close enough for the final few seconds? They get green light. We're back on. Luckily, Kansas State called a timeout there late that helped burn some of that time, and he missed about, like you said, about 45 seconds or so total time. And got back on with about 25 seconds. Now, mind you, all of this has been going on, and he still has the presence of mind and the ability to not only call the game, but make an incredible call at the end.
Right.
Houston, you have a problem. Florida Atlantic is coming to town. He gets my helmet sticker because, Rob, not only has that happened to us, how many times have you had the broadcaster's dream, nightmare?
Oh, yeah.
That you can't get on, that you can't get plugged in, that the game's going on and you can't get the broadcast on the air. Anybody who's ever done any play-by-play has that dream. And he was living it after 16 years, and it's happening at Madison Square Garden. Unbelievable. If you can, get a chance to hear the audio, and then remember the preceding 3 to 4 minutes of abject terror
right.
that Ken LaVica is going through. And also just, really? I finally get a call, a team going to the Final Four, and this is it?
Do you think he orders a hotspot for the next that can produce his own?
Anything.
Yeah.
Get to Hughes. I mean, but again, you know, I think probably what saved him is that he's probably been through that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That you know, I'm sure some of the places they go, Ethernet.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah, both of us are familiar.
Like, let's get up in the La Mesa where you have to walk on the catwalk with chicken wire behind
I'm
the
going down to call
box.
A state quarterfinal football game one time, and I get to Brownwood, and they casually mention, oh, are you on what kind of internet do you use? Oh, do you use T-Mobile? Or no, it's AT&T. T-Mobile's the only thing that works here. I got 1 hour to figure out how to get the broadcast on the air. Luckily, one of the coaches had a T-Mobile phone. Assistant coach sets the T-Mobile phone down. We create a hotspot.
Right.
Because we're basically in the same booth with the coaches and the radio. And everything worked great, Rob, until the post game when the coach got up and took my broadcast with him.
Whoops.
Whoops. Hey, that's the end of the year, folks, everybody. It was a great season. We'll get some more of your text messages on the other side. Expectations year one, Tech basketball, next coach. What do you believe to start this week? Raiderland helmet stickers, Tech baseball, NCAA tournament, Tech men's basketball coach search. Lamar Jackson? Oh, yeah, that's in the NFL. 806-855-3712. Quick break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Barbecue, huh? How do you like your ribs?
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Congrats to us. We've done it again. We have managed to turn morning into afternoon with you right here in the Arctic Air Studios. Great job by you folks listening on ESPN 960 San Angelo, Talk 103.9 FM, News Money Sports. The streak continues. It's improbable, Rob. I don't see how it can continue. I truly don't. I think it's impossible. All right, you guys join us on the program, 806-855-3712. I'm just Ryan Hyatt, at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. The show never ends. We'll come back tonight. Daily broadcast, live online, Twitter live, around 6:30-ish. Everything we do, including our five things we know in a Sunday column, is waiting for you at TheRaiderland.com. So check it out, TheRaiderland.com. He is Rob Bro, at Rob Bro Show, a third of the gambling gauchos. Y'all hit YouTube last night? Sorry, I was doing
we did
some of my stuff. Then
every
it just
Sunday night.
That's what I thought. It's become kind of a regular thing. You guys check that out.
We also put it on the podcast feed.
Yeah, put it on. Sign up for that, you know. Be a patron. Be a gambling gaucho if you can.
You can just subscribe to YouTube.
Either way. Either way. Gambling all three gaucho. Of y'all on there? Or
for a while last night, yeah.
Anymore, you know, if you can get all three gauchos at the same time, it's pretty much like a Beatles reunion, it seems, at times. You guys moving in. Grooving and doing so much different stuff. At Rob Bro Show on Twitter and host of the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 here on Talk 103.9 FM. Question of the day. Regardless of who the next Tech head coach is, even though we all know it's Grant McCaslin, right? Expectation year one. What is your minimum expectation for this team? I say the minimum every year, regardless of coach, regardless of situation. Unless you are on probation, you should be in the NCAA tournament. It's the equivalent of a football program saying, you ought to be in a bowl game. You should be in it. You play in the Big 12. That means you finished seventh that you're going to be in. We asked that question today. What do you believe to start the week. And then Raiderland helmet stickers, anyone and everyone deserving some recognition. Who gets your helmet stickers? 806-855-3712. Obviously, we're still talking Red Raider baseball. They get swept over the weekend there in Austin, a couple of one-run games Saturday and Sunday, and they're boarding a bus to go to beautiful Albuquerque today, and we'll play tomorrow. That is a 2:30 West Texas time start, I believe, over there. Texters on the text line, which is exactly where they ought to be, Rob, says, I still believe in this team, and the coach has been getting swept by a conference opponent, especially Texas, does suck. I'm not trying to tell anybody it was great. I'm not trying to tell anybody you got to be all happy about it. I'll maintain that it's not the end-all, be-all, worst thing in the world. And if you paid attention to the league this week, or this weekend, Rob, it appears there are some teams that you can sweep out there.
Yeah.
Every series was a sweep yesterday. Which, in a way, if everybody, well, not everybody, you got company. This thing's a long way from sorting itself out.
I do feel like there's a pretty good delineation of top teams and bottom teams, though.
I think you've got Tech. I think you've got Texas. I think you've got Oklahoma State. I still consider TCU to be in there.
Yeah.
And then you look down the other direction, and I think that's where the line is for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kansas State's going to be a tough out in Manhattan.
It's always been a weird place to play for Texas Tech.
But I don't – well, I mean, just for the league. I think Kansas State will be good at home this year. They just swept Oklahoma at home.
Yeah.
But you have to go to Norman. I think that'll be a tough series. Otherwise, I just don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to be competitive on the road this year beyond the top four.
Yeah.
And I think Texas Tech will win some series on the road.
I think you can get this sweep back against somebody else, and you're kind of revenue net neutral, and you just see how it plays out from there. But I'm not trying to tell you about what happened yesterday was great, but, I mean, you're in any given moment, two pitches, let's say four pitches, two of your pitches to them, two of their pitches to you. Two different outcomes. Four different outcomes on any of those four pitches. You're the team winning two out of three on the road.
It's also baseball. You play 50 games.
Yeah.
You're going to lose three. You just, if it's in the same weekend, it just feels worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Texter says, expectations in Lubbock. Win every game. Win the conference. Win a national championship. Facetious, of course. But rather high expectations than lethargy. I hadn't seen lethargy around this program since Pat Knight showed up, have you?
Well, I mean, there was a stretch there with Billy Clyde and the interim for an entire season.
I disavowed that existed. That did not happen. As much as I like Coach Walker, bless his heart, I disavow any knowledge of that. Texas Tech was on probation.
Yeah.
Tech was on probation that year. For hiring Billy Clyde Gillespie.
All right. I just wanted to look at the Tech baseball schedule to reassess here.
Okay.
You have to go to Norman. You get Baylor and Lubbock. Potential sweep.
Yep.
You have to go to Manhattan. You have to go to Morgantown. And you get Kansas and Lubbock. Potential sweep.
The every other year potential sweep to close out the season during graduation weekend or wherever it seems to always fall. West Virginia is, to me, still mystery meat.
They have one really good starter and one really good hitter.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are pretty good.
I think they took two or three from Xavier this weekend. Would have been a good basketball series if we'd had a chance to see that. But
yeah, and they've not been able to play any conference games yet.
Yeah, no.
Did they do that themselves, or did the Big 12 screw them?
I don't know why.
They're going to close the season with like nine straight Big 12 conference series.
And possibly, and maybe even West Virginia and the league looked at it from this standpoint. All right, when's the weather going to be better?
But you could have played a road series.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of is that you're pushing back the West Virginia starting Big 12 play because you're hoping you can get better weather. For whatever series or two series, whatever, you know, however you want to play it.
But I mean,
the only thing I can think of.
There's an odd number, so somebody's getting left out early. But
that's another thing I'm going to love about this, the new expanded Big 12.
Still an odd number.
Yeah, but the way we can break things up, you're getting more conference baseball series in, which will even further strengthen the RPI. I think of Big 12, good Big 12 teams. For the bad ones, it won't matter. But I think for good Big 12 teams, that'll just help strengthen the RPI, that you can replace a Merrimack. You can replace a Merrimack with a BYU, right? Did I tell you last week I saw a picture of BYU's field from home, behind home plate?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Holy moly. When are we going up there for that?
It's awesome. What do you think the protocol will be with the scheduling? You think they'll play 13 or 12 series?
12 is 36, so that leaves you.
For 1 year, you have 14. You have 13 teams, and then you'll have
close
11.
To that.
I mean, I could see him playing 11 Big 12 series.
Oh, absolutely.
But then if you add a couple of teams and stay at 14. Unless it's Colorado, because then you just have 12.
And I mean, in the evolution of the Big 12, you never had 12 teams. Colorado didn't play, so the most you had was 11. So you had the 10 series until Iowa State shut down in 2000, or after the 2000 season. You know, and then since that time, you've obviously winnowed down even further. But that was eminently workable, doing the 11 at the beginning of the Big 12. Wasn't problematic at all. So I think 11 or 12 is right on the number. Because, again, I mean, who would you rather play, a conference opponent or some of the dregs you end up having to play in February or March?
Right.
Because you can still go. You're still going to go play your classic every year. You're going to be in Frisco. You're going to be in Arlington. You're going to be in Houston. You're going to have that every year.
You have two non-conference weekend matchups remaining, right? North Dakota State,
Stanford,
and Sam Houston. Stanford's a midweek.
Yeah. Is that a midweek? Yeah, it is a midweek, isn't it?
It's a two-game set.
Yeah, that's right. It is a midweek. I keep thinking that should be on a weekend, but you're right, it's not.
But you could put two more Big 12 conference matchups in there.
Easily.
It'd be interesting.
Texters on the text line, 806-855-3712. First-year expectations, they say, NCAA tournament first-round victory. That's Jeff in Houston texting in. I think tournament, first-year head coach, tournament is fine for me. You make the NCAA tournament. Once you get in, it's not like all bets are off, but you just get in. You might have a great first-round matchup. You might have a horrible first-round matchup. But the minimum expectation now, I think, for Texas Tech basketball, with the resources that are being given, the current climate of NIL and transfer portal, you 100% should be in the NCAA tournament every year.
And your recent success.
Yes.
You're a year removed from going to the Sweet 16.
Even if you do have massive roster turnover, maybe that's the way to go. Because you know what I believe to be true this week? Once again, NIL is the great leveling agent. Once again, NIL in the transfer portal is hurting the Blue Bloods and helping all the other teams across the country. Go back this time. Well, it was a little after this time last year. One of the biggest NIL deals was Nigel Pack leaving Kansas State, going to Miami. Look at Miami. They went out. They got in the portal. They got NIL aggressive. We can debate the, what's the guy's name,
Ruiz.
We can debate that or not, but the reality is that if we really wanted parity, and this is what I think, I also believe, a lot of people say they don't want parity, but they really don't want it. A lot of people scream about, we got to have parity in this sport. And then when they get parity in this sport, they bemoan the fact that these programs are doing what they're doing. We can't have this. This is awful for the game.
And national media always loves St. Peter's or whatever, but then cry when they make the Final Four and the ratings are bad.
Right.
If you don't want FAU in the Final Four, if you don't want Princeton in the Sweet 16, just have a Power 5 tournament.
Exactly. Just don't invite them. Just put brand names in there. Put football school brand names there in your UCLAs and your Carolinas and your Dukes, and just do that.
Just pick eight conferences, pick the mid-majors.
Call it the big name tournament.
Big East. But if you don't want Yale, punching up every once in a while. If you don't want St. Peter's or
Creighton. And we have this small Jesuit school out of Omaha. What the hell's going on here?
Well, they're Big East, so they can.
Yeah, okay, now that they're in the Big East, they're part of the club. Yeah, forget that. Yeah, I believe.
Like St. Bonaventure, Loyola Chicago. If you don't want those schools in there because they're not big enough names, then don't invite them.
And this horrible transfer portal. All we saw was Jerome Tang go up there at Kansas State, remake a roster in 1 year, and be close to a Final Four.
Oh, the NIL Duke's richer than everyone. They're just going to be good now. Yeah?
Yeah. How's that working out?
Oh, everyone. And the NIL North Carolina will just pay more than everyone else.
Yeah. How's that working out?
Where's SEC guy?
Yeah. He'll be here soon. Don't worry.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take the time out. Working our way through hour number two here in the Arctic Air Studios. You get on the text line, 806-855-3712. What do you believe to be true this week? Let's hand out some Raiderland helmet stickers. Who deserves a little recognition? And regardless of who the next coach is, what's your expectation, minimum expectation, for Tech basketball next year, year one of a new coach? If we're not talking about something you care about, hit us on the text line, 806-855-3712. 3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Just take those old records off the shelf.
1221, you got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Take you till 1 o'clock in the Arctic Air Studios as you listen in on ESPN 960 in San Angelo and in Lubbock Talk 103.9 FM. News, money, sports, Red Raider baseball on your mind. We can talk about that with you after they fall. A couple of one-run losses Saturday and Sunday, get swept in Austin. Ranked 22nd this week, D1Baseball.com. Hand out those helmet stickers to anyone deserving a little recognition, sports or otherwise. And then what do you believe to be true to start the week? You tell us that each and every Monday. Expectations year one, new coach, what's it going to be? And I don't know. I've been jokingly saying, yeah, we all know it's Grant McCaslin. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, who knows. It'll wrap up this week, I've got to think, at some point in some form or fashion, whether it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday would be my best guess. So if you still have thoughts on that, if you still have thoughts on the coach search, you can certainly hit us there. And then spring football underway. We'll try to catch up with Don Williams later on in the week. Let him navigate a few more practices. By the way, the line now, this year's team over last year's bowl winning team, this year minus 29.5. I mean, the money just keeps steaming it out. It's hardcore provolone right now on this year's team. It's unbelievable. Talk about expectations. I think you're looking at about a 10-win season. I think Vegas is going to put the over-under on the win total right around 9.5 for the Red Raiders this fall. There's no other way it's going to work out. But I truly do love the optimism. Anymore, my goal in a spring practice, Rob, is just get through it without anybody getting hurt. In all honesty.
And a lot of guys are not participating, too.
Yep.
Which, understandable. I mean, you're still recovering from last year. If you had surgery or whatever at the end of last year, you're still recovering. And you're not rushing anybody back to be in spring practice.
No. You don't have to. A lot of...
Doing a lot of walkthroughs still.
See, I was about to say that. If I were a college football head coach, I would be more akin to, in the spring, almost go non-contact. Make everything cerebral, technique, all of that, and save my hitting for August.
Your quarterbacks are getting rhythm with the receivers
right,
and all that. Now, if you just do it in spring ball and then don't do it all summer, you lose that rhythm. But
and I mean, the linemen would hate it. The linemen, both sides of the ball, the linemen would absolutely hate any of that. But I don't know. It's so spread out, you know, and the drawn-out process of how long it lasts now, and you're basically going just twice a week. I would love to see if they gave coaches the option. I don't think they do. Would you rather have an extra week and a half in the fall and no spring? Because now you can do so many things in your program without spring football.
Right.
They allow so much more football-related activities, even basketball. You know,
you can still do meetings and all that.
You can still do all sorts of things. That I wonder how many coaches would opt for that extra week and a half when you come back in late July. And the other thing I'd do there is I'd give you the option, if you want to play an exhibition game against another school in August, a preseason scrimmage, that you do that. For me, I think that would be much more beneficial to a team getting ready to play in September than the way it is done now.
I'm still contending for joint practice.
Oh, I think it'd be awesome.
Go meet somebody somewhere and have a week of practice. And
I mean, and obviously Tech's in a little difficult situation because you are a little more isolated from other major D1 programs that aren't in the Big 12 currently or otherwise. But, I mean, okay, go down and or go up and meet West Texas A&M.
You could do ACU.
You could do ACU, yeah. Get them off the schedule or people like that. You do that.
Yeah, obviously when they're on the schedule. But
I mean, you could do New Mexico State. Where would we want to do that? Carlsbad Caverns? You got a field out there? We could go see the caverns together.
You mean Lovington?
Yeah.
The blue turf.
Beautiful Lovington. Yeah, that to me seems like it would be a better situation than what we have now. Because even now in August, teams aren't doing a ton of 11-on-11 full contact. This has turned into a very NFL style, and college in this aspect has always mimicked the NFL. And you're even seeing less and less contact in high school practices. That the days of just wearing yourself out two-a-days and going full pads and we're scrimmaging 11-on-11 for, you know, 30 minutes, that's dead. That's gone. You don't do that anymore.
Going back to the end of last week when we talked about going back and playing a five-year career with somebody.
Right.
I think that's a reason why a lot of people weren't picking football.
Just the idea of...
It was brutal. Yeah. I mean, it's not nearly as brutal as it was, but even like when I was in high school, from my freshman year to my senior year, was a completely different... Like I was in on the movement.
Right.
To reduce a lot of what was going on. Could you imagine football practice in the 70s with just no care?
Yeah.
No, we don't know anything about concussions or...
Yes, I can.
Even in the NFL, like...
Even in the 80s.
Water breaks, nothing.
Hey, in the 80s, our spring practice, I felt like it lasted a month. I mean, it was a full... And it started, and we're going every day, and we're in pads every day.
Yeah,
and we're
pads on day
hitting,
one.
Yeah, you get pads, you go. And we're hitting every day.
There's no easing into it.
No.
Hour-long tackling drills.
And that, you know, like I
Oklahoma.
Said...
Oklahoma.
Felt like it went on for a month. It almost did.
Yeah.
Like 21 or 23 sessions, you know, something like that. It's crazy. Yeah, probably why some people didn't say they wanted 5 years of an NFL team to do that onto their body. Bottom of the hour coming up. Give us your expectations for Tech basketball next year. Year one, regardless of who the coach is. Hand out some more helmet stickers today, sports or otherwise. We find out every Monday what you believe to be true. If you got some thoughts just on the NCAA tournament itself, love to hear you. If anybody had any of these teams in their Final Four and there's any sort of physical proof that would stand up, I would love to see it if you want to text in a picture or something. But I can't imagine we had many that had that. Although one of the frequent guests on this program, Will Hill, FAU to the Final Four. He called it. He called it pre-tournament. Nice little chunk of change for at not the Will Hill. Tell us what you believe to be true on the other side. Take the time out. 806-855-3712. You got to use the 806 or it doesn't get to us. Goes the angry man in Florida. 855-3712. Quick break. Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. We'll be right back. 12:35, you got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro, taking you until 1 o'clock here on a Monday in the Arctic Air Studios. 1 to 2, it's the Rob Bro Show on Talk 103.9 FM. Get your overreactions ready. You should have some good ones today. In San Angelo, ESPN 960. So for our San Angelo friends and everyone outside the Lubbock area, get the app for KKM.com so you can keep on listening and texting in when Bro takes over. 806-855-3712. That's 806-855-3712. Hand out some Raiderland helmet stickers today. Who deserves a little recognition? Which athletes, non-athlete sports, otherwise deserve a little recognition today? And then every Monday we ask you, what do you believe to be true to start the week? It could be sports related. It didn't have to be. But you just can't walk around not believing in something. Finally, the actual official question of the day. Expectations year one for Tech basketball new coach. Whoever that may end up being later on this week, who doesn't matter, what should the expectation be for you? If you do want to talk some Tech baseball, we're happy to do that with you today. What did we learn about this team this weekend? Nothing that I don't think we already kind of knew about this team going in. It just maybe confirmed a few different things. And then on the men's basketball coach search, if you got some thoughts or comments, I think we're all in the same place right now, just sitting around waiting to see when they make the announcement. I wonder why they would be waiting. 806-855-3712 for you to text in. The texters are on the text line. That's where the cool texters are. What texter? I have exactly no teams in the Final Four. At least you're honest, not trying to admit it. Obviously, none of mine made the Final Four. I guess the farthest I had any... I mean, Rob, my bracket was a disaster in the Sweet 16. I did have San Diego State to the 16, getting beat by Bama. I had Miami to the 16, getting beat by Houston. Okay, I did get one Elite Eight team right. I did have Texas getting beat by Houston. And then just absolute grease fire down on the bottom part of the bracket where the team that's probably going to win it in UConn, I had them get knocked out in the second round. That's how dumb I was. Oh, well. It's a bracket. It's what we do. That's how it works. 806-855-3712 to text in. Texters are on the text line, obviously. Since the season has now reached the Final Four, and Tech had long turned in their equipment months ago, have the statute of limitations been expired long enough for us to comment on the poor tourney officiating without sounding like whiny sore losers? You can always complain about the officiating. I mean, if we want to, do we want to go to the ending of the San Diego State-Creighton game yesterday and say foul or no foul? Do you call that foul with, you know, X number of seconds left in the game? Do you let the players decide? I think we've got, and I believe it was Jay Wright who said this yesterday, Rob, that really what you were having in that moment are two different conversations. One is, with a trip to the Final Four and the game on the line, do you make that call? Or do you let it play out? That's one philosophy. And, of course, when you go down that road, then you have to say, there are times we want the game to be officiated, and there are times we don't want it to be officiated. And at that point, okay, you say you don't want to call that foul. Well, now you're hurting the offensive team. The offensive team now doesn't get a fair shot. The other thing is, was that a foul all game? That, to me, is the more pertinent question on what we saw transpire yesterday, that for most of the day, I mean, people were getting hammered. No whistle. For most of the game, it was an incredibly physical game. Fine by me, but let's keep it physical the whole way. I hate to see a game end that way. And, Rob, I don't know if you were able to watch those final few moments, and then you have the pass that gets knocked out of bounds, and the TV crew is spending all this time trying to determine how much time is left, as opposed to going, who did it go off of? If they just spent the first 30 seconds going, oh, doesn't matter. Went off crate. It doesn't matter. Game's over. But, okay, if we to complain about the officiating in the tournament, you've got to give me specifics. You've got to give me instances, not just horrible officiating throughout the tournament.
I didn't watch any basketball this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I paid attention. I maybe that's not true. I watched the Kansas State game.
I would think for the most part, this tournament has been more of a let them play kind of tournament. That it has been pretty physical. That it has dovetailed to that. I mean, what do you want to do? You want to go back to Saturday night and talk about the fouls that Timmy was picking up and people? They're not going to foul out the superstar of the game, are they?
There was a couple of egregious travels that Timmy had.
Boy, he's really bad at that. I mean, or good at that.
Good, yeah.
One way or the other.
And then, it's not over the back if you bend over and push back four steps.
Right. So, I mean, when we say, okay, we want to complain about the officiating, you've got to give me more specifics
and in instances. If you watch Big 12 basketball a year, it's pretty par for the course on officiating.
You know, we can go back to the first game of the tournament. Letting them play. Then all of a sudden it becomes a ref show and they blow a whistle every time. And now West Virginia can't play. Yeah, there you go. So what do we do? Do we get rid of officials? What if we just had one guy? Actually, I'm being kind of funny here, but I think the game, Rob, got worse when we added a third official. I think the third official feels a need to officiate.
Yeah.
Feels a need to justify their existence.
And if you
have got to do something.
If you have review, you don't need the third guy. You just go to the board.
Truly don't.
Camera's the third guy.
Yeah. That I think it would be much better, particularly at the college level. Go back to two officials.
And you'd have better crews because you wouldn't need so many officials.
Yeah, and maybe, just maybe, these officials, well then you get to the, we're going to overwork two instead of three, because right now, but that's part of college basketball's problem. I don't blame the officials that if they're going to hire you and you can officiate five nights a week.
Higgins.
Yeah. And you're everywhere. It's the schools that are doing it.
Hey, your mark. Hire officials for the Big 12 and
Big
do
12
not let
only.
Them work anywhere else.
Big 12 only and pay them great.
Pay them to be Big 12 officials.
Pay them enough money that's all they do.
Yeah, I don't know that people really understand how much these officials work.
No, and they're not flying charter.
No,
they're flying commercial all during the week. It's brutal. I will absolve them on that, 100%. But everybody wants the so-called best officials, so we winnow it down. I think that would be another great step. Hell, get it sponsored.
Yeah.
Well, Big 12 officials brought to you by?
You'd have to have somebody. That would be a tough marketing sell.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be hated.
Okay, so what's a product that everybody hates anyways?
Right.
You see that microphone to my right just spin around over
that
there?
That was weird.
Do you see that?
I saw it.
I'm out of here.
Has that happened before?
I'm out of here. Microphone to my right just spun around.
Yeah, that was weird.
And is now facing downward.
Some official's ghost in there is mad.
What the hell is that?
That was weird.
I thought it was coming at me for a half second. I know this is horrible radio right now, but you got to understand how unnerving that was. What just occurred here in the studio.
It did spin towards you, too.
Yeah, I know. Is there something you'd like to say? So, going back to the official discussion. What do you do about it? What do you want? Because when it's too rough, everybody complains that it's too rough, and they're impeding on the game of basketball. Then when they blow their whistles, everybody's complaining, why won't they let them play? I think the bigger thing yesterday with that, if we're talking specifically Creighton, San Diego State, that had not been a foul for 95% of the game. So if it's not going to be a foul for 95% of the game, the other 5%, it probably shouldn't be a foul either. That's my thinking on that. And it was Jay Wright who I really enjoyed hearing Jay Wright's comments on that tournament, on that round table or whatever you want to call it. With CBS, I think he's been one of the better additions. And maybe it's just because he's new that if we come back in 5 years and Jay Wright's still doing that we kind of get a little aware. But, man, the Clark Kellogg's and the Charles Barkley's and as much as I enjoy just the blather of Barkley from its own entertainment standpoint. Just Seth Greenberg's, and I don't know. It has just really left me cold. Okay, I'll put it this way. I think the CBS telecast, Rob, of the TV show that is March Madness, has gotten stale. That the only thing that's saving it is the, and this is a good thing to save it, the only thing that's saving it is the product. That the games, that they do give it. But the packaging and everything else around it, to me, just has gotten incredibly stale. And I don't know exactly maybe what I'm looking for that would change it up, but it's just, there are times when everybody who's involved with the production seems bored with it.
Especially all the NBA guys.
Yeah. Almost like they're put out that they've got to be there. It's like, when does this thing end? And nothing against Nance, but Nance has done it for so long that he's so smooth.
Well, this is last year, right?
Yeah, and, you know, that's been a little more whatever. And this weekend ought to be just incredibly emotional for, I mean, Jim Nance may levitate. He may actually levitate to the rafters of NRG Stadium at some point and just float right over to Augusta, Georgia. How long do you think he sleeps on Tuesday?
Not at all.
Probably not.
He doesn't sleep.
Monday after the Masters, how long do you think he sleeps?
He's up at 5.
He goes into some sort of cave like Aaron Rodgers and goes into a dark room. I don't know. It's just, even Nance is so slick. And it's funny, we go down this road here because I was thinking about this during the second round of the tournament that already just felt, we've seen this before. And maybe it's the studio show more than anything else. I think the play-by-play guys, for the most part, the analysts are pretty good, but there's just something about it. And it's not hurting ratings. The ratings were up for the first two rounds, 9.2, 9.3 million for the first two rounds. The ratings were up great. So it's obviously just me.
You just hate Charles Barkley.
Yes, documented visceral hate. All right, we got to get into the final segment of the day. Another chance for you to jam up the text line, 806-855-3712. Tell us what your expectations are for Tech basketball this coming year, regardless of who the coach is. What do you believe to be true to the start of the week? Hand out some Raiderland helmet stickers, Tech baseball. We hadn't talked about it. We've got stuff to get to. 806-855-3712, the text line. We'll finish up strong. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Final segment of the day, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, featuring Rob Bro, got you till 1 in the Arctic Air Studios. And it is the Rob Bro Show, Overreaction Monday, coming up from 1 to 2, Talk 103.9 FM, News, Money, Sports. We got you for a few more minutes in San Angelo on ESPN 960. Question of the day, regardless of who the Tech basketball coach is, what are your expectations for next year? First-year coach, maybe some roster turnover, maybe not, don't know. Hadn't happened yet. Just because someone is in the portal doesn't mean they've exited, other than Fardos Amak. And then what do you believe to be true this week? Raiderland helmet stickers being handed out. Tech baseball, we didn't get to it and probably won't. I guess the big news of the day in the NFL, hey, and thankfully it doesn't have to do with Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson. So when Harbaugh goes to speak at a press conference this morning, that's when Jackson and his people release, yeah, we've requested a trade. Would you trade for him, Cowboy fans? Do you want Lamar Jackson? Would you do it? You tell me. 806-855-3712. Texter talking about in the last segment when the microphone off to my right spun around and down for no apparent reason whatsoever. And it still feels like it's looking at me. Says, you must exorcise the demons, offer a sacrifice. The question is, what or who? I don't know. What do we do in this situation, Rob? What do we got to do to take care of this? What could we offer up as a sacrifice? Hasty, I think, has some bourbon in his office. Should we pour that out? little Jobu type thing going on from Major League. I don't know what we need to do, but that's still kind of freaking me out just a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie. You get to deal with it for the next hour, Rob. Congratulations. Texter was talking about officiating, says, yes, the Creighton-San Diego State game. You nailed it, Ryan. The physical play that was allowed for the majority of the game heavily favored San Diego State, as evidenced by Creighton's shooting percentage. That Creighton was the team that was called for the late foul was complete horse hockey. We don't want horse hockey whatsoever. Texter says, our next coach should not have the drama luggage. That's a good name for a band, Drama Luggage. Okay, can see that being some sort of fusion bluegrass band, maybe with a little electro-punk thrown in, the old Drama Luggage. The next head coach, like anything, the first chore is going to be building the right coaching staff. Then the next chore is going to be building the roster. And I would say retaining the roster. There are certainly players that you would like to have back, if at all possible. But I ain't going to blink an eye if every one of them walks. And that's a harsh attitude to take. But in today's world of the transfer portal and everything else, I can go get guys. I can go get dudes. Another texter. In the first year, I think minimum expectation is at least one win in the tournament. Starting year two with the facilities and funding we have here, there is a minimum expectation of ending in the top 25 and or Sweet 16. Yeah, I don't worry about the rankings. I care less about the rankings. But, I think now, and I like the way the texter phrases it, you know, give the coach a year, get in the tournament. Even if they don't win a game in the NCAA tournament next year, I mean, that would be disappointing. But if you're in it, you never know once the brackets come out. As I said, everything is so individually matchup-based at that point. But I do think, absolutely, there's no reason not to expect Texas Tech to be in the NCAA tournament next year. And after that, I do think the ceiling, or whatever the expectation becomes, play to the Sweet 16. Get to the second weekend of the tournament. Get a good seed and play two games wearing white.
Beyond Texas Tech, the expectation of every Big 12 program should be the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Regardless of coach or roster. You should be vying for your a Big seventh school, place or better finish.
You're a Big 12 school with a good budget. You're not want for money anymore. You've got just about everything. Every from track to tennis, volleyball, you name it, everybody's got facility. Soccer's got facility. Soccer's got money. Yes.
And next year it might be 10 out of 14.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Big Ten does.
Yeah. That's how they get to go so deep, and just by throwing more darts at the board. But
right,
yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the minimum expectation is you play in the postseason. And we've said for forever, the minimum expectation for football is you're in a bowl game. My goodness, if you're not in a bowl game, that's when you start looking at your program and going, what changes do we need to make? That in this day and age, we can't get in a bowl game. We've got to put everything on the table and examine everything about what we're doing within this athletic department or within this football program and everything else. But I absolutely think it's a fair expectation to sit here and say, whoever is announced later on this week that name rhymes with McCasland, that you're in the NCAA tournament next year. I don't care what happens, roster turnover or otherwise.
Yep.
It's all in place. The fan base never left. The fans didn't check out on you. Facilities are still good. NIL is still going to be good. It's all there. What will we be overreacting to here in a few moments? Do you have any personal overreactions that you're going to share, or will it be the audience that will overreact?
Yeah, we'll have some overreactions on the Texas Rangers opening weekend.
Really? Good or bad?
Tune in to find out.
That's coming up next, the Rob Rowe Show from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9 FM. I'm back with you tonight, Twitter Live, at Ryan Hyatt Media, around 6:30-ish. We'll recap the day and see what happens between now and then, because stuff is always happening between now and then. And then check out my website, theraiderland.com. If you missed our column yesterday, you need to read it. If you missed George Thatcher's column, you need to read it. Even if you missed Diamond Talk, you need to go watch it. So it's at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. For Rob, I'm Ryan. We'll see everybody Tuesday in Raiderland.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.